Matthew chapter 20, we'll read verses 1 through 6. We'll read them responsively. I'll read the first verse. We'll all read the second verse together and so on. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through 6. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth hour and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Well, let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for the truth I'm about to pull out of this verses right here. And I pray, Father, you give us all ears to hear. You give us understanding. You give us a desire to do what you would have us do. I pray you bless us, dear God. You meet with us. You speak to our hearts. Change us and challenge us. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want us to focus on the question the owner of the vineyard asked the laborers who were not working, and yet it was the 11th hour. And he asked them in verse 6, why stand ye here all the day idle? Now, the question is found in a story that Jesus told, and it is only found in the book of Matthew. He speaks of a householder who goes to the marketplace early in the morning to hire people to work in his vineyard. Now, many times people who wanted to work in those days would go to the marketplace early in the day and wait for landowners to come and hire them to work in their vineyards or fields. This is what takes place in the story. Now, Jewish workday was divided into 4 3-part hours. It started at 6 to 9, then 9 till noon, noon to 3, and 3 to 6. Now in this story, the man goes out at 6 in the morning, and he says to those that are looking for work that he would like them to work in his vineyard, and after they agreed for a penny a day, he sends them into his vineyard. You say a penny. Man, you know what? They don't even make them anymore. They're not minting them anymore. You know what? They're barely worth picking up when you see one on the sidewalk. Well, back then, that penny was a full day's wage for work. And that day of work was 12 hours. At 9, he goes back and he sees more laborers standing again in the marketplace and tells them to go in his vineyard, and he'll do right by them for the work that they are to do. At 12 noon and 3 in the afternoon, he does the same thing to those who are standing idle in the marketplace, promising to pay them at the end of the day. He goes by with 1 hour left in the workday. That would be at 5 in the afternoon. And still sees laborers not working. And he says to them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And he hires them to work in his vineyard. When 6 o'clock comes around and the workday comes to a close, all the laborers, those who put in 12 hours of labor, those who worked 9 hours, those who labored for 6, and those who put in 3 hours, and those who worked 1 hour, came to get paid, and they all received a penny. Now, I want to focus on those who he hired at the 11th hour or at the 5 o'clock time in the afternoon, just 1 hour left in the workday. And from that story, people today use the expression, it's the 11th hour. What do they mean by that? It means time is running out. Now, if we read the previous verses in Matthew, you find Peter saying to Jesus, behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. What shall we have therefore? So in this story, Jesus is teaching people what they will have, what they will receive, and what they get in return for serving the Lord with all their hearts. So he asks a question of those back then, and he asks a question for us today. Why stand ye here all the day idle? This question is a rebuke of inactive believers. Spiritual inactivity, my friend, is a sin. And when we are no longer busy living and serving for the Lord, we actually grieve him. When Jesus ascended up into heaven, two men in white apparel in Acts chapter 2 stood by them and said, or was it Acts chapter 1? One or two. But they stood by them and said, why stand you gazing up into heaven? Now, in other words, you ought to be busy. You ought to get busy serving the Lord. Don't stand here looking up. Don't be a spectator. Don't be idle. Be a participator in what the Lord would have you do. In other words, why stand ye here all the day idle? Now, this is more than a question. In all reality, it's a rebuke. And it's a challenge to us as God's people to go to work for the Lord and not be complacent in spiritual matters. You may read this story and you may think some of the workers in it, you may think about that, and you might be thinking just like they did, you know what, we put more hours in and we should receive more. But did the householder cheat them of what they agreed to? Can he not do with his own what he will? Would not this story imply that a Christian devoted to God, motivated by the Spirit of God, who loves Christ preeminently, do as much in 1 hour as some who have been saved for a long time and believe they've been laboring for 12 hours and who have the motivation of what shall we have therefore? You know, I've seen people saved later in life who do more for Christ than those who are saved early in life in a Christian home. It's not how much time you have lived as a believer, but how much of your time you spend being busy for the Lord. Now, it's awful to see the idleness in the lives of so many of God's people. When there's so much that needs to be done in our lives and in the work that God would have us do. So the question still remains today, why stand ye here all the day idle? You do realize it is the 11th hour. We are in the latter days of the latter days. And like Paul said in Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now in this sermon, I will address 5 things that pertain to the question, why stand ye here all the day idle? Number 1, why stand ye idle in the matter of spiritual growth? Why stand ye idle in the matter of spiritual growth? You know, when we all got saved, we were all spiritual babes in Christ. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it tells us this. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now, all of us were baby Christians, and all baby Christians need to grow. They need to develop, and they need to become strong. Yet many believers never do anything to further their spiritual development. Yet we are told in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. This matter of growing spiritually is a lifelong endeavor. For none of us have reached the full stature of Christ in these bodies of clay. Now I realize that there are those who deceive themselves into thinking that they are more spiritual than they are. But the Apostle Paul, who was perhaps the best New Testament Christian, said he was the chiefest of sinners and that he was the least of all saints. And he hadn't yet arrived. This is what he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If I by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though as I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Doesn't sound to me like Paul said, you know what? I'm all that and a bag of chips when it comes to spiritual growth. You know what? He realized he hadn't attained. He realized that he still needed to press toward the mark or the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know how anyone sees Jesus in the Word of God or looks into the Scriptures and can't see their need to press on the upward way and gain new heights every day. Whether we are newborn babes in Christ or we are strong in the faith, we are to develop spiritually, and that we are to do all the days we live in this body of our flesh. In order for one to grow, we need to have proper food. This means we need a steady diet of the Word of God, which is said to be milk, meat, bread, and honey. Now, the Bible is food for the inner man, and that spiritual part of us needs feeding if we are to be healthy spiritually. You know, I've known Christians for quite a while, and you know, I know many believers come to the church, and you know what? They look at the preacher as some giant milk bottle. He's responsible to feed them. And they go, feed me, preacher. Feed me, preacher. You know what? Why don't you feed yourself? You got the same Word of God. I'm not saying that you can't be fed in the local church, and you ought to be fed in the local church. But every one of us ought to be feeding on the milk of the Word, the meat of the Word, and the honey of the Word on a daily basis. I guarantee you eat daily physical food. Why not eat spiritual food? Why not nourish that inner man? Why not make him strong? This much I know. We don't need spoiled milk, tainted meat, nor moldy bread. So we best feast our eyes right here on this King James Bible and feed on it daily and find out just how sweet it is. There are many believers today who fail to be fed from the Scriptures, and they know nothing of spiritual growth. They remain babes in Christ. They're carnal, and they continue on in spiritual infancy. There are those who've been saved for 10, 20, 30 years or more, and they're no closer to the Lord from the day they got saved until now. Recently, I just heard somebody who'd been saved, I don't know how many years, perhaps 50 years. And they said, this is the first year I read my Bible through. Now, to me, that's sad. Now, am I glad? Yeah, I am. But it's also sad I didn't lay hold of that truth so many years ago. Just think how more mature they could be in the faith. Some have stalled in their spiritual growth because they have as much Christianity as they can take. And their favorite hymn is, I shall not be moved. They have dug in their heels. And any and all forward progress has ceased. It's come to an end. No believer will grow without the Word, without Christian fellowship that they find in the Bible-believing church. They will not grow without obeying the Scriptures, without surrender, and without loving Christ preeminently. So many believers are like a child who gets on a rocking horse. They go back and forth and end up going nowhere. They're not making any progress. May none of us be idle when it comes to our spiritual growth. And may we enjoy every passing day. May we grow more into the likeness of our Lord. May we be able to say with conviction the very words of John the Baptist, "He must increase, but I must decrease." We all need to grow. Some need to start growing. Others need to restart. But all believers need to be pressing toward the mark of for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Number two, why stand ye idle in the matter of defending the faith? Why stand ye idle in the matter of defending the faith? Now, I hope you do realize the preacher isn't the only one that's supposed to be a rock-ribbed Christian with convictions and take a stand on what thus saith the Lord. Is it not written in Jude 3? Beloved. Now, who's he talking about? Oh, it must just be preachers. Oh, it must just be, you know, those in full-time Christian ministry. No, he's talking about all the saints, all of us. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should. Who's that talking about? Ye. All of us. That ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Contend means to engage in a contact, in a contest. It carries with it the idea of a wrestling match. It means laying hold on an opponent. And we are to be engaged and exert some energy in the defense of the faith. Far too many Christians have a shut-mouth, lock-jawed type of religion. They don't speak up, they don't speak out, and forever hold their peace when it comes to defending the faith. We believers have been told far too long, you just sit down, you just shut up by this corrupt, perverse, evil world. And because we do as we're told, we no longer are the salt and light of the earth, salt and light that this world needs us to be. I've even been told by some, now preacher, don't say anything that'll offend that person. We don't want to upset them. And can't you just go along and get along sometimes? Listen, I'm not ashamed to let anyone and everyone know where I stand. If I make some new enemies, so be it. They can get in line behind the old ones that I have. I'm not looking for enemies. In fact, with the kind of friends I have, I don't need any more. But I plan on taking a stand for the Bible, and I plan on doing what is right. You see, I want my position as well as my disposition to be right when I do stand for the faith. But if I had to choose between the two, it'll always be my position. Because sometimes my disposition gets a little bit out of sorts when I come across some doofuses. We've been muzzled long enough. We've been told to remain silent on such controversial issues that others don't want us to take a stand on. But since when is it controversial for a believer to consider abortion to be murder? to believe marriage is between a man and a woman. To accept the truth that there are only two genders. No more, no less. That climate change is a hoax. Evolution is a lie. Capital punishment is right. Only men should pastor churches. Only men should deek. Men are to lead the home. Drinking alcohol is sinful. Denying the deity of Christ is devilish. That Jesus is the way and no other. God only wrote one book, and we are in no way to be yoked up with unbelievers. Yes, eternal life means just that. And there is a hell. There is a real devil. Those who deny God are fools. Jesus is coming again, and there is going to be a millennial kingdom that he will rule and reign over here on this earth. I'm not one that is easily misunderstood. For when it comes to the faith, I want to be clearly understood. And I want to be understood by all. And if this offends somebody, I can still live with it. And I can still sleep at night. Yes, I believe God created the worlds in six literal days. I believe Moses took the Israelites through the midst of the Red Sea on dry ground. I believe the walls of Jericho fell down flat, and the sun and the moon stood still for Joshua. Enoch and Elijah went to heaven without dying. I believe Jonah was swallowed by a whale, was dead in that whale, and then after 3 days and three nights came back to life and was threw up on a beach. I believe Jesus was virgin born. I believe he was without sin. I believe his sacrificial death is the means of salvation for all men. So why is it so many stand idle when they should be growing spiritually and contending for the faith as they should? Why do we let the heathen espouse their views and remain silent when we should be standing for what is right? Number three, why stand idle in the matter of winning the lost? Are we not told in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Are we not commanded to be creature reachers? Those without Christ will die. And if they die without Christ, they go to hell, where they'll be tormented in the flames forever and ever. And if we don't reach them, who will? The first requirement in soul winning is to go. Is to what? Go. Whether it is convenient for us or not. To be effective, we need to go with a broken heart, bearing the precious seed of God's word, and have the certainty, and when we do so, we have the certainty of results by going forth with tears. Psalm 126, 5 and 6 tells us, they that sow in tears shall what? Reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with what? Rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, there's joy in winning others to Jesus. And wise is the one who does so. And great will be their reward for doing so. Yes, we're to go two by two. We are to go house to house. We are to be involved in the master's business of seeking and saving that which was lost. I know the hardest door to go through when it comes to soul winning, and it's your own. But that should not stop you. You say, but I'm busy. Well, let me say that our Lord was never a bit too busy to win souls. I think he was pretty busy, don't you think? Doesn't he sustain all things? I mean, he's far, I would venture to say, he's far busier than you are. Now, if we are too busy to win souls and to labor in the fields that are white unto harvest, then we are far busier than God ever intended us to be. Getting people ready for heaven was Christ's main business. He did come seeking and saving that which was lost. And because it was his main business, it ought to be ours as well, as we follow the Master. Has not Christ told us this in Luke 14, 21 and 23? Go out quickly. When? How? Doesn't mean we should be dragging our feet in this matter, does it? Into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. When it comes to soul winning, can we not hear the Savior say, why stand ye here all the day idle? Go, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. We cannot afford to be idle and growing spiritually and defending the faith and soul winning. And number four, why stand idle when there's Christian service to be done? Why stand idle when there's Christian service to be done? We have been saved to serve. And what a privilege it is to be servants of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If one is rewarded for giving a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, just think what it will be like to be rewarded for service rendered in the name of Jesus Christ. We were not saved to sit, soak, and sour in the pew. We are to be servants of the Most High God. And the greatest title God bestows upon anyone is servant. He called Abraham my what? Servant. Moses is referred to as his what? Servant. Joshua is called the servant of the Lord. David is said to be my servant. So is Job. Paul is called the servant of Jesus Christ. So is Peter, and so is Jude. Listen, Jesus elevated the position of being a servant when he himself is God, made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a... That's right, servant. And was made in the likeness of men. Is it any wonder that he told his disciples, he that is greatest among you shall be your what? Servant. And what believer doesn't want to hear Jesus say to them at the judgment seat of Christ, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So let me ask you, are you actively engaged in service for Jesus Christ? You may help maintain the facilities. Usher. Lead the music, be a treasurer, a deacon, help set up and break down the fellowships. After we have a meal together, cut the grass, shovel the snow, wash dishes, set out food, work the nursery, clean the church. But whatever you do, it ought to be done to the glory of God, and you ought to count it a blessing that you get to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. 'Tis sad but true. Many are indifferent when it comes to the work of God and serving the Savior. So why stand you here idle when you should be serving? Number five, why stand ye idle when the coming of the Lord draws ever nearer? In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, we read this. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as is seen him go into heaven. Jesus tells us to occupy till he comes. You say, well, that's what I'm doing. I'm occupying. I'm just taking up my 18 inches here. I'm just breathing God's air, walking on the face of his green earth. I'm occupying. You know what that word occupy means? It means stay busy. And we are to stay busy for him till he comes. We need We need to stay busy and be prepared, for we know not the day nor the hour that Jesus returns. There's a story about a gardener. His master had gone away, but that gardener kept the grounds as clean and beautiful as possible. He worked diligently on it from daybreak to sunset. One day someone said to him, "Why you work so hard in that garden? Your master's gone." He replied as he worked, "I know not when he shall return. And I would not want him to find me not doing what he's told me to do." "Well, he's been gone for quite some time now. Why don't you ease up?" "Yes," said the gardener, "but that means they may return tomorrow."